was talking to the Lord about the message based on what we've been talking about and going forward with it. And this week has been a very interesting week. The people that the devil is using against me are people that were, and I say were, the closest to me. And I say were for a reason, because I've distanced myself spiritually from people. And now God has begun to say to me, and I want you to listen close to what I'm saying. The Lord has begun to say to me, no, stand and fight. Don't go quietly. Stand and fight. That people try to take advantage of your Christianity to their benefit, and they try to abuse you based on the fact that they believe that you won't do what you need to do. But he gave me a very, very specific instruction, and I want you guys to hear this. Don't fight in your flesh. Don't fight in your emotions. Don't fight in your logic, but fight in that which is right. There's times in the Bible he told him to take up the sword and go wipe out the kingdom. Right? He says, so no, it can't be an emotional move. It has to be strategic by me. It has to be logical by me. It has to be in wisdom by me. But you will defeat the enemy, those who have set themselves against you, by me. But I will tell you what to do and how to do it. Now, here's how I begin to judge whether it's God or whether it's God or whether it's not. If I want to do it and this hunger's on me, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get them. I'm going to make this happen. Then it's not God. When you feel yourself loathing the idea of what you're being instructed to do, when you feel yourself saying, I don't really want to do that. God, is there any other way? Then you can kind of rest assured that God is with you, because you're saying in yourself, it's not me, but it's you prompting me. Now, I sat myself down with the Lord during the course of this week, and I said, what did Israel feel like? Now, I want you to listen to me close. They knew the commandments, those who followed it. They knew what they were supposed to do. They know it's supposed to love. They know you're supposed to, forgive. They know, the whole thing about murder. They got the commandments. And then God is like, okay, Achan's family, bring all of them outside. Husband, wife, kids, cattle. I'm fitching the cows, going like, what we got to do with this? We had nothing to do with this, right? How is this our problem? We didn't do this. If I was a cow, that's what I would have said. What's this? Anyway, and he says, and then slaughter them all. And I'm like, wow, I don't understand the logic of it. But I understand the instruction. So God began to say to me, people are trying to take advantage of you using me as a shield, and I'm no longer going to allow it. Now, I will tell you what to do and how to do it, but I will strike. He said, the ultimate strike will be for me. But you're going to have to position yourself and do certain things. And then the fingers are going to point at you, and they're going to try to say that you're wrong and you're evil and there's something that you're not doing that's not right. But then God said this, but I will continue to bless you and increase you in front of them as I begin to decrease them. And I went, And I didn't like the way that felt. And that's when I knew I was in a different place. I don't want to see this. And he said, I need you to be mindful of my word. And he gave me this to share with you today. The title of the message is Temptation is Real. Temptation is real. So, 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 12. Let me see. 12. Yeah, I'm going to start at 12. I am writing this to you, little children, because for his name's sake, your sins are forgiven, pardoned through his name, and on account of confessing his name. I'm going to read that again. I'm writing to you, little children, right here on the screen, too. Everybody watch it. Because for his name's sake, you are forgiven. Pardoned through his name and on account of confessing his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have come to know, recognize, and be aware and understand him who existed from the beginning. And I am writing to you, young men, because you have been virtuous over the wicked one. And I write to you, boys, lads, because you have come to know and recognize and be aware of the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have come to know and recognize and be conscious of and understand him who existed from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and vigorous, and the word of God is always abiding in you and in your hearts, and you have been victorious over the wicked one. Stop. So before we go further, he says, I'm writing to you for a reason. And the reason is you've decided to obey me above emotions, above feelings. You know me from the beginning. You know me from the end. And God said, there's a very serious thing. And me and Pastor Fontaine had a long talk yesterday. And he said, it's a very hard road. Now, I want you to listen to me close. It was powerful when he said it. When you decide to say, I don't care what the word says, I'm doing this. Because I feel strongly, I feel anger, I feel bitter, I feel animosity. He said, that's a very, very hard road to come back from. Because once you harden your heart to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that becomes a habit and a flow. You begin to believe the lie. And I watched Pharaoh, and God showed me this. He said, Pharaoh, one persecution after another, he was like, oh my God. I need to leave these people alone, let these people go. But then the demon that of emotion that controlled him made him rise up and say, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to attack them anyway. But I know, God, that I shouldn't be doing this. And I don't care. This is how I feel. I can't help how I feel. I'm going to do what I need to do. And every time in every step of that, I don't care, I'm going to do what I need to do. You get deeper and deeper into the pit of hell and further away from the things of God. And so God said to me throughout this, no matter what you do, don't give into the emotion of anything. Follow my spirit, follow my heart. Will you feel the hurt? Will you feel the frustration? Will you feel the pain? Yes. But when you find out people have done wrong and continually done wrong against you and done wrong over the years, and more things keep getting revealed, keep showing up, and you're going, God, how long do I have to put up with this? And I said to God about a week ago or something, I said, God, I think I shared it with you. I said, God, I feel like I'm being continually punched in my heart. And God, had me be still and pray. I said, my heart. I said, God, I'm strong, but my heart feels like that's the only words I could come up with. Like I'm being continually punched in my heart, not in my chest, in my heart. And God said to me, be still. No vindication is real. No one who comes against my anointed is going to walk away unscathed. He said, I think people think I'm joking when I say, touch not my anointed and do my servant no harm. And just because they've decided in their whatever that you're not my anointed, you still are. And even David knew as Saul was going against God and coming against him, Even David knew throughout the whole thing, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. I'm not going to put my hand on him. I don't care where he is now. I know he's called by God, and I'm not going to touch him. So God said to me, pray for them because they think by touching you, because they've decided that they're right, that they are escaping my judgment, but they will not. So now I had to sit back again and say, so now how do I feel about that? Because the scripture says when God begins to judge them and you go, aha, he will turn his anger from them because God doesn't want you in the place where you're rejoicing over somebody else's comeuppance. I hope you're listening to me today because this is important, right? So he said this. He said, you know what the calling is, fathers, sons. And I was looking at it, I said, why come you're not saying daughters? He said, there's no male nor female in the kingdom of God. When I say fathers, I'm talking about fathers and mothers. When I talk about sons, I'm talking about sons and daughters, everybody included. I call you mankind. Mankind includes everybody. Women are included. So I said, well, amen. So I said, so for the sisters that thought slightly, where's the daughters? You're covered. And the man's supposed to cover the woman. So if he covers her correctly, then he's covered by God and she's covered by him, which is what Jesus has said more than once. So if you don't have a husband, you still covered by God directly. So amen, you're covered. Amen. My baby girls are covered. Don't worry about it. Now, 15, do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't love the world. I don't care about the world. The world is anything that allows you to do what you want to do in the spirit of you outside of the spirit of God. I don't care if you use his name in the process. You know when you're operating out of hatred. You know when you're operating out of animosity. You know when you're operating out of bitterness. You know what you're operating out of. So be careful when you make these decisions. And this is so powerful for me in this season of my life because I've made the decision to stand on the mountain with God and watch. And so when God says, no, now I want you to take up the sword. I have to be very careful to listen to his ear when he says, okay, now I want you to put it back. Put it down now. No, I got a good rhythm going. No, put it down now. Are you listening to me? Let the dead bury their dead is a very powerful statement when Jesus made that to the disciples. Follow me, but I'm going to bury my father. Let the dead bury their dead. He made it very clear. You follow me regardless of blood, race, religion, heritage, whatever the case may be, you follow me. But as I said, when he tells you to shake the dust off your feet, sometime the dust on your feet or the place that you're in, you like that dust. So him telling you to shake the dust off your feet and leave the place is like, but this is gold dust. It looked like it to you, but it's about to become poison dust. So shake it off and leave the town. So I don't think, I'll just leave this by the Spirit. I don't think anybody receives rejection well. And people clearly don't like judgment. Nobody likes that, me included. And when God begins to execute judgment the way he sees it, it may not be the way you think the people deserve it. And it may not be the way you think it should be implemented. Nonetheless, God is the final decision maker. And you have to decide that whatever opinion or direction or way he pulls you, or the thing he says you can keep, or the thing he says you need to let go of, or the people you need to embrace, or the people you need to separate from, whatever the case may be, you have to say, God, it is well with my soul. It's not fun, but I still will do what you say. Imagine I'm going off more than I want to. Imagine the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they get ready to get bound up and thrown into fire for being obedient to what God said. And then turn the fire up, get it cranked up, so turn up the gas and get it cranked up higher, and it burns the people and kills them, throwing them in. And I'm sure through that process, we can't bow. We can't bow. I mean, even if God doesn't deliver us, we can't bow. I want you to listen close to what I'm about to say. Temptation is real. Even if God chooses not to deliver me, I can't bow. Even if this decision that I make seems to cost me everything that I hold dear to me, I can't bow. Even if I forfeit the quote unquote good life, I can't bow. Somebody say, I can't bow. I can't bow. So he says, do not cherish the things in this world. Anyone who loves this world, the love of the Father is not in them. Boy, have I seen that. For all that is in the world is this: the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eye, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life. And pride of life, and it says assurance in one's own resources and own stability of earthly things. These do not come from God, but are from the world itself. Now watch this. Let's go over these things. He said, don't be careful of these things. After all this breakdown, he says, craving the lust of the flesh, craving for sexual gratification, the lust of the eye, greedy longings of the mind. And I thought the lust of the eye all this time was money and material things. But he said, no, it's a longing and a greediness for anything that the mind conceives. Look at it. The lust of the eye, greedy longings of the mind. So this, your mind, the lust of the flesh could be you wishing, you know, when I hear people, oh boy, I'm gonna say it, make America great again. So you're longing for something of some yesterday and not longing for what God is leading you to today. So that's your position. And again, I'm not Republican, Democrat, neither one. But my point is anything, and we talked about this a couple of messages ago, where the enemy keeps trying to make you focus on yesterday and how great it was and how much better it was. And it was better when we were in Egypt. At least we had food. And anything that goes against God's leading, you got it? All in your mind, all in your soul. God, what say you, right? So, greedy longings of the mind and the pride of life, and this one is important. Assurance in one's own resources or in their own stability of earthly things. People who think that they are assured or they are covered by what they believe their connection is, what they believe their power is, what they believe their right is, what they believe their whatever is. Anyone that is that sure of anything outside of God is a dangerous person and in a dangerous position. So, assurance, the pride of life. I thought this person walking around proud and being and thinking and talking great about themselves. No, the Hebrew says, I mean, the Greek says, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. Confidence in your own resources, in your own connections, and all the earthly things that you think empower you. If you look at everything, it's talking about God over here, me in control. God bless what I decide. God back me on what I decide to do. God hold me down in every state of disobedience that I walk in. And even if you throw up the name of God and try to use Jesus and say, well, I'm trusting the Lord, and God knows you not trusting him. You're trusting in yourself, but you're trying to use him as a word to do that. You're not escaping from that. God knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. He knows that. God knows that. And God has had to check me a few times, like, son, you know I'm not behind this right here, right? Yeah, but I think it's only fair. But you know that I didn't tell you to do this. Like I said, I came to the realization when he starts to tell me to do something, and the part of me that goes, I don't know. I feel more comfortable than the things that are like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Nope. We got to be obedient to his spirit. So now let's take this all into account. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride of life. You with me? Okay, let's go back now. Let's go back because I want to show you something. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to bring it home with this. But before we do, say, Lord, allow me to not be tempted to do things outside of your will, even if it seems right to me. Then Jesus, starting at verse 1, was led and guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and into the desert to be tempted, tested, and tried of the devil. Now, I'm going to speak on that because this is important. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. And so people and church leaders and pastors have said it for over and over erroneously. Now I want you to pay attention to me. Well, God led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted, and so he will lead you in the wilderness to be tempted and tried. Parazo or parasmo, both to the same word in the Greek. But in the book of James, after Jesus ascends, it said, for God is not evil, neither will he allow you to be tempted or tested and tried above that which you are able. But with all temptations, is faithful to provide the way of escape. So no temptation or trial will come on you that is beyond your ability. And in those abilities, escape is always there. And where is escape? In saying to God, not my will, your will be done. Whatever you say, I'll do. I'll get through anything quickly because I already have the answer to the test before I go in. The way of escape is already there, but I must walk out in your spirit, not in my own. And please, I keep saying this, throwing up the name of Jesus and saying this in the Lord's hand does not put it in God's hands. That's not what puts it in his obedience to his spirit is what puts it in his hands. So let's move on. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And later he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, are you the Son of God? Command these stones to be bread. You hungry? Your flesh desires food. Give in to the lust of your flesh and do what you want to do. I want you to see the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is the attack of the enemy consistently. But he replied, man should not live or be upheld or sustained. I won't go back to the old definitions. I gave them to you. By bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Does it sound like what we just been discussing? So Jesus is backing it up. Man should not live by bread alone. He said, yeah, you need food, but that should not be your sustenance. But every word or leading by God's spirit, his word, comes out of God's mouth. That's in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3. So Jesus quoted scripture, just so you know. Then the devil took him up. And I want you to be very clear. The first verse says the tempter. And then the second verse says the devil. So letting you know, the tempter and the devil are synonymous. So when you're tempted to do those things which you know are wrong, belligerent, and evil, the tempter and the devil, same thing. You know what's right, know what's wrong. And when you do what God has told you to do, like they said about Jesus, they will try to tell you it's the devil. You don't serve God. You don't know God. Well, Satan's the accuser of the brethren. That's his job. And no believer goes looking for opportunity to call you a demon or demonic. They don't look for that for you. They look for salvation and deliverance for you. Love expects the best and believes the best of every person. So you don't immediately stop hurling demonic insults at people when, if you serve God. That's just not how it works. You're always looking for the out. You're always looking for the God. So just keep this in mind. He said, no. I don't need bread. I live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to, wow, the holy city and placed him on a turret or a pinnacle, the gable of a sanctuary, and said unto him, on the other hand, it is written, okay, well, let's try this verse then. You shall not, wait a minute, I'm skipping, on the sanctuary. And Jesus, and the devil took him in the holy place and turned in the sanctuary. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it's also written, you should not tempt, test, or try the Lord thy God. Where's the part where he told him to jump down? Okay, well, he took him up there and told him to jump. Five, let's get one. Okay, thank you. Then the devil took him to the high place on the turret. Yeah, I read that. Temple and gave him sanctuary. Yeah, it doesn't say, and he actually told him to jump, for he would lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And six. Ah, I'm trying to rush the story. Back up. Let's do it again. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the turret, a pinnacle gable of the temple sanctuary. And Jesus said unto him, on the other hand, it is written, you should not tempt, test, or thirdly try, or exceedingly the Lord your God. And the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him the kingdom of the world. Nope, that's not, it's out of order. And the splendor and the magnificence of the promise there. And he said to him, these things are taken together, I will give to you. So no, I wasn't wrong. When he took him to the pinnacle, to temples, this is not the mountain. That's where he shows him the world. He puts him up on the pinnacle and he says, if you be the Son of Man, cast yourself down, for it is written that you would he will lift you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then Jesus said to him, yeah, but it's written that you don't tempt the Lord thy God. So this, I don't know what version, what book that the whole definition in right now, but we can go to that. But here's the point. Satan came to him and gave him a psalm. He quoted a scripture and said, cast yourself down, jump down off this mountain, for it is written that he will lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan came with the word. He came with a scripture. He came saying, thus saith the Lord. He came saying, these are the things that I would like to introduce to you now, since you want to do the scripture quoting thing. I can quote scriptures too. My point is, when people start pretending that they're following God or pretending to correct you by the Spirit of God, they will come with, well, the Bible says such, such, such. And I want to give you this. This is very important. The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. Now, if you'll find the version of it whereas it actually describes the verse that he quoted at Jesus to tell him, lest you jump down off the mountain, I want you to pay attention to this. The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. If people come at you quoting scripture and quoting Bible, you can quote Bible without the Spirit of God, because the letter killeth. And people that try to quote the Bible at you without God's spirit is demonic, and they're coming with the spirit of the devil because they're coming to hurt you. If the way they quote the scripture at you is accusatory, listen close to what I'm saying, if it's putting you down,
If it's shaming you, if it's trying to make you feel anything but the peace of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, for comfort, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, if it doesn't bring the comfort, it should be conviction, it should be reproof, but it should come with the comfort of God on it. And if it does not, if it comes from this mean, accusatory, judgmental place, they're a demon. This is not God. Nobody comes to you and quotes scripture. A person saying to you, you're going to burn in hell. I don't care if they're a leader of the church. I don't care what their role is. They're a satanic demon because the Bible says, go into the world and preach the good news. You're supposed to preach the good news. Salvation has come. And the Bible says his kindness leads you to repentance. I'm giving you the word. I don't care what people try to tell you. The word is supposed to convict your spirit, not shame you. That's not salvation. That's using the fear of the devil. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Temptation is real. But it doesn't come in the forms that you think it comes in. Jesus doesn't come in and bash you over the head and said, you're good for nothing, no good Christian, you ain't no real Christian, you're gonna burn in hell. Jesus would never say that to you, and he would never send anyone to you to say that. It goes against who he is. I don't believe that because sometimes God wants you to judge. What scripture are you standing on for that? He said to the woman caught in adultery, where are your accusers? They didn't accuse me. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. So when you watch people claiming to be God's disciples, but they coming at you with venom and bitterness and hatred and quick to tell you that you're going to the pit, they're only describing their home. They're only describing their origin and they're only describing their home. Why would you say that? Because that's what they know. Why would they aim you at the pit unless they know where it is? People of God try to lead you to God, not to the pit. People that love the Lord try to lead you to the love of the Lord, not to judgment in hell. You understand what I'm saying? People that know right try to lead you to right. People that know wrong try to lead you to wrong. People that know poverty try to lead you to poverty. People that know blessing try to lead you to blessing. People that know increase lead you to increase. People that lead you to lack lead you to lack. People that lead you to joy lead you to joy. People that lead you that know pain lead you to pain. This is what they know. You can't teach somebody what you don't know. You can't share a relationship with people that you don't have. You can't encourage people when you're not encouraged. So when people promote and throw hell at you, it's because that's their home. They speak from the place that they know well. I don't care if they claim to be Christians. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter my kingdom. People that know God know the love of God. And people that know Satan's hate is what they know. And that's the only thing they can promote. They walk around and they'll walk around with signs saying hatred on this side and we hate this. And you know, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna put it out there. Donald Trump's a cult leader. He's a cult leader. That's a cult leader. And any Christian that follows him, they fall in line with what Jesus says in the end. Many of you will be deceived, even the elect, if it were possible, because no belief system should say, well, we hate Republicans or we hate Democrats because it goes against who we are. You're supposed to bring people in by loving them and embracing them. And that thing that they do with this division, that's a cult, and he's a cult leader. And I said it. And I won't take it back. And that's why I made my decision not to vote for him. I don't like Kamala either. I don't think she's any better in that way, but at least she's not leading a divide against people and causing a rift in the war toward people. That's a cult leader. And you're following a cult leader. You might as well have went to Africa with Jim Jones because that's a cult leader. He's stirring hate and you guys are loving the hate and naming the name of God. He's a cult leader and you're in a cult. Hands down, I said it. Don't edit this. Don't erase none of it. Leave it just like I said it. We might even put a clip of it upline and start the message with it. Doggone it. It's a fact. Now, then he showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, all of this I will give to you if you bow to me. So he tried to get him with his flesh, Then he tried to show him, okay, let me test you to be led by your own emotions and your own feeling. Jump down off of this and see if God will lift you up. And he said, nope. Nope. Not doing that. I'm not giving into that pride, the pride of life. And then he gave him the lust of the eye. Well, what about everything you see? I'll give all this to you. And Jesus' response to that, and he said to him, this is crazy. He said to Jesus, this is crazy, verse 9. And he said to him, the things all taken together I will give to you if you will prostrate yourself before me and do homage and worship me. And Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, begone. For it is written that you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone will you serve. Deuteronomy 6:13. Watch this, watch this, watch this. So he came at him with the lust of flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye. He inverted it, but he still came with him with the very three things that he comes at you with. And the devil departed from him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Now, the people who sat, dwell, enveloped in darkness have seen great light. For those who sat in the land and the shadows of death has been dawn. The light has been dawn. But here's what he said. He stood against these attacks, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. You will be tempted. Temptation is real. But immediately after that, once you stand and you resist, the angels of God come and minister. They come and they show you the way out. They come and show you the door. They come and they open up all the avenues of that God has had for you. So what am I saying to you? Huh? Let's bring it here. Let's bring it home. When you step out in the things of God or make a decision to follow the things of God, are you listening to me? I want to know you're listening to me. Give me a thumbs up. Give me a something. Because what I'm on, even if you're on your thing, give me, because what I'm about to say is the earth shaker, is what brings it home. When you've decided to do what God has called you to do, and you decide to walk out in the things of God, you will be tried. But not with sickness and disease and all that. With the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Satan will always introduce shortcuts to the things of God. He will first try to say, is God's word really real? That's what he said. Okay, if you be the Son of Man, turn these stones to bread. Isn't that what he said to them in the garden? Well, has God really said? So he makes you question God's word if it's real or not. Whenever you've been through trouble, you know you've heard that voice. Is God's word really real? Well, then, if you're supposed to be here, why aren't you here? Right? He's going to try that first. You resist him. Nope. I don't live off of bread alone. I don't live off of healing alone. I live off of every word that comes from the mouth of God. They say, okay, if that's true, kill yourself, poison yourself, neglect yourself, do this, do that, do this. If it's really true, then God will protect you. And there's your second one. And you have to say, no, I'm not going to put God to foolish test. And I'm not going to try to make God prove his word to me by trying to guilt him. I'll trust God and I'll get God to prove his word by trusting him. But I'm not going to try to use any tactics to try to shame God into giving me what I'm asking God for. Are you listening to me today? Because this is real stuff and you know we all feel it. Well, if God is really real, then why not blah, 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 blah? Nope. Nope. I'm not putting God to the test. I know he's real. I don't need to test him right now. He's proven himself enough times in my past. Even if you can't remember it at the moment, just say, nope, I'm going to stand by what I believe. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to give. And then he comes to you and says, okay. Then I got a shortcut. Why don't you cut the corners and lie and cheat and steal and do this and not pay and put people on your tax that don't belong there and not pay your tax and go this way and cut that way and sneak under the current here and lie about this and scheme about that? And if you do it that way, You get there. Showing you the kingdoms of the world, saying, if you do it my way. And at that point, he said, I rebuke you, bro. I'm only bowing to God. I'm not bowing to your approach. I'm not bowing to your attack. I'm not bowing to your lies. I'm not bowing to your schemes. I'm not going to try to do it your way, because I know at the end of this, the destruction is waiting for me when I bow to you. So no, even if it hurts, even if it feels uncomfortable, even if it doesn't feel right, and to my flesh man, my spirit man bears witness, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do this. When God says, cut them off. Cut them off, but they've been there for so long. Okay, so now you're going to reason. Well, maybe if I talk to them and I do this and that and I buy them this and do them this, maybe they'll turn. Okay, so you're going to play the game then. You're going to bow to some other feeling or some other leading other than his spirit. I'm saying this, and I'm going to park it here. As people say, I'm going to land my plane right here. Temptation is real. And when you decide to step out to believe God in any direction, I've had people say to me, man, I was living my life. I was living the way I was living. I was getting away with the life I was living. And the moment I decided that I'm going to go forward and do God's will, look like all this stuff came against me. No, it didn't come against you. It's been crouching at your door. Sin crouches at your door and waits, the Bible says. It's crouching. Don't let it have dominion over you. It's waiting. And the moment you decide to come out of your safety door and step into God's door, sin pops up. Here I am. I got some alternatives for you. And you have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, I will only serve the Lord God, and only him will I serve. And when you do, when you take that stand, you're listening to me? When you take that stand, to say, I don't care how uncomfortable it feels to my emotions, my flesh, and everything else, I'm going to do what God says. When you take that stand, the angels will show up immediately. I've seen it. I've experienced it, especially in the past couple of weeks. I've seen it experience, like, literally the presence of God comes and just sits on me and lays on me, and I see it. And God says, I'm going to show you now that I'm going to minister to you by my angels, and deliverance will come from my hand. Stand. Temptation is just a thought fight. It's not a physical fight. It's a thought fight. Every one of those challenges was not against Jesus physically. There was no cancer or no disease put on him. It was physical. If you're the Son of Man, turn these stones to bread. You hungry? Satisfy your flesh. Nope. Okay. What about I give you the opportunity to prove the word, jump off this roof? Nope. Okay, I give you anything you want if you just bow to me. I'm going to say this, and I'm going a little over, but I'm going to say this because this one is real. Do you know most Christians never get to three because they give up on one or two? You know that? The devil don't get a chance to say, I'll give you the whole world if you bow to me, because they quit on, well, turn these stones to bread. All right, well, then jump down off of this if God is really real. And they take those alternatives where the Satan is. And I've seen in several places in my life where Satan has come to me and offered me the world. But I know a lot of times people, including myself, never get to number three because they give up on number one and number two. That's real. So I'm saying to you, saints, resist the devil. And he will flee. But temptation is real. And he will try when you decide to stand. And he will try to push you back to where you are, because that comfortable place that he's got you to live in for the past however long, he will keep you there for the rest of your life till you die, waiting on Jesus to move. But when the time comes to stand, and he tries to give you the scriptures from different directions to justify your decisions, you got to decide, I'm going to stand and I will not bow. I pray that this word was a blessing to you. I pray that you don't just hear this word and think it's a great word and just go to bed on it. Temptation is real. But God always sends the deliverer when we resist the enemy. And we thank you, Lord God, that we resist the devil.
And Father, I come before you and with all of us listening, all of us watching to say, we don't bow to people. We don't look to man to be our deliverance and our savior. No man is going to make the world better, Lord. You, only you can make the world better. And we will not walk in hatred. We will not walk in animosity. I will not hate a Republican or a Democrat. Father God, I thank you that I'm going to love people as you told me to. And I will do what you tell me to when you tell me to do it, whether it makes sense to my mind or not. I will take the stand and I will walk in faith and not by sight. And Father, we will make a decision that when the tempter comes, we will see him for who he is. And we will take these three simple steps. We will not test you. We will not try to live outside of bread alone. And we will not bow for Satan and his promises of kingdom life. He cannot provide. The only thing he does well is lie. And so we thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you will give us an alarm on our insides, a super hypersensitive alarm in our spirit, that when these temptations arise, that we spot them, we see them, and we react appropriately to them. Father God, I pray for everyone on here that you give us an alert in our spirit when the enemy comes with these lies and these attacks and these maneuvers. I pray, Father God, I pray for all of us here today that you keep us alert and you keep us sober and you keep us vigilant. For the devil roams around to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And he seeks us out and he put these temptations on us. But your word says if we resist the devil, he will flee in terror. So Satan, on behalf of everybody here today and myself, we resist you. We resist you. We will not bow to your temptations. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. My prayer today is that everybody at the sound of my voice be free. Don't let the enemy keep running the same old game on you over and over and over again. I pronounce and I release the anointing on you to walk away from the lies of the pit. That same lie that's been keeping you in the circle, in the same cycle forever and ever. Your breakthrough is now if you take it. But temptation is real. But God is greater than your temptations. And the angels are ready to bring you the answer to your prayer the moment that you rebuke the devil and resist him. In Jesus' name and amen.